You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hi, I'm Joe Heath.
I'm Tony Heath.
And we're back, baby, for the Watchathon of Razzalon.
Yep, your enthusiasm startled me.
Going to be talking about, well, not an episode of Doctor Who.
No, so we're only kind of back.
Yeah, we're sort of back, baby.
Back with a special.
A Christmas special. The first ever specifically Doctor Who Christmas special. I mean, we had that one episode, The Feast of Stephen, but it was part of a larger ongoing story. This is the first Christmas special.
And how Christmassy it was.
Oh, yeah. Today we're going to be talking about the K-9 and Company pilot, which consists of one episode, and it's titled Girl's Best Friend, and that aired December 28th, 1981.
True facts!
Special thanks to Matt Golden for getting us this episode.
Hey, thanks, Matt!
Golden!
You can check him out at matthewgolden.net.
Oh man, it's been a minute.
It's been a minute.
It's been a minute since we've had a good Hey, Thanks, Matt.
Hey, thanks, Matt!
So, yeah, we're doing a special. And it was special.
It certainly was. I know we've got to, like, talk about it. But real quick, can we just talk about the theme song and how great it is?
I mean, yes. It's the best part of the episode.
It's the best part of the whole thing. K-9!
I was reading up about this before we... because we just watched it, and I just cleaned up the notes and read the Wikipedias real quick. The theme song was a temp. It was actually supposed to be replaced with orchestral music. It was like, this is just what it's going to sound like, but replace this synth score with orchestral music, and they didn't do it. And the guy who made it was like, wait, what? And then they also just called in John Leeson, and they just told John Leeson, can you just say K-9 a couple of times? He's like, I didn't really know what it was for. I was just going, K-9, K-9. And then they edited it into the song.
Into the best thing ever.
Oh, man. And it's, everything is so well edited, but the shots are kind of, there's nothing exciting happening in any of them.
It's her going for a jog.
Her taking a sip of, I don't know,
wine? Somewhere?
In the middle of nowhere, her driving her car.
And like three shots of her just turning around and looking over her shoulder and making some kind of face. Experiencing an unidentifiable emotion.
And then she'll be sitting on the wall. And then it cuts and
K-9's
on the wall.
Also on the wall. K-9!
Oh man, it's great. It's like if you just slightly sci-fied the intro to Doogie Howser. That's what it is.
I've never seen the intro to Doogie.
That's Doogie Howser.
Oh, thanks.
I've never actually really watched Doogie Howser, but I did watch a parody of the intro where you're watching it and you're like, I don't know what's weird about this. And then if you're paying close attention, somebody has just inserted the same guy in the background of every single shot doing something. And it's like very seamless. And you watch it again, you're like, oh shit, he's literally in every shot. Like it gets more obvious as the video goes on.
What are you talking about?
An alternate intro to Doogie Howser. Anyway, that's why I know the song. It's from that video, not from actually watching Doogie Howser.
Okay.
But it's similarly synthy to this K-9.
K-9!
That's all we need to talk about. The rest of the episode's whatever.
It's fine.
It's not science fiction-y.
It's not science fiction-y. It feels like a very specific era of Doctor Who. In fact, there's a specific episode of Doctor Who which has a similar plot, and I couldn't remember the name of it.
The Daemons,
yeah.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure the first shot we have in this episode is, there's a cult. And I was like, I've seen this episode. You kill them with love, right? That's how you defeat them? You beat them with love?
Like, the first 5 minutes are, like, establishing this cult and this town, and then you finally see Sarah Jane. And, like, the next 13 minutes is establishing God knows what, and then you finally say CK9.
Yeah, it's very slow.
It's very slow. And also, so the very first scene is like a...
Was the cult.
Was the cult to some rituals happening.
They're burning a photo, and that photo is of a scientist who's going to America. And I didn't realize for a while that it was Sarah Jane's... Yeah, Aunt Lavinia.
Then, like, the next scene is her aunt, Sarah Jane's aunt, who we've never met before and don't have any reason to care about.
Well, she hasn't mentioned on the show before.
Has she?
Yeah, Sarah Jane's mentioned her Aunt Lavinia a couple of times.
Well, it's just a scene of her aunt and her aunt's friend having a conversation.
Her name is Juno Baker.
And they're boring as shit.
Yeah, and they're just talking about, like, the most boring stuff. Aunt Lavinia sort of upset everyone in this town because she's spoken out against witchcraft. Because
she's a scientist, damn it.
And she's also packing up a bunch of stuff, but not this, because she's going to America, but not this big box that is left for Sarah Jane in her attic.
Because that box has K9 in it.
And also Sarah Jane's picking up her ward, Brendan, when she comes in.
No relation, or...
I don't think so.
She just found a boy and was like...
rich people just do that, right? Like, Bruce Wayne, like, has a ward, and I don't know. It's just, like, a boy you take in.
I'm gonna have that boy.
I think it's akin to, like, adoption, but...
More distant?
Yeah. I don't have to love you. I'm just raising you.
I will just financially support you.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know. So that takes like 20 minutes to establish.
Yes.
Sarah Jane finally shows up.
Oh, wait. We said that the theme song was like the only important thing happening. Right. That's wrong. The other important thing happening is every single thing Sarah Jane wears. It's great. Very good.
And her hair.
She's got this one hairstyle where she's got like the top half of her hair is in this side ponytail, but her bangs are down. It's a good look. You see it in the opening. Very good. There's so many good outfits I can't remember. Like, I couldn't describe each of them now, but...
Well, they're all, like, eclectic. And there's, like, the... I know there's that pair of green boots.
She's got green boots. And she's got that one jacket that looks just like a... It looks like a rug.
Yeah.
It looks like a rug from somebody's, like, den. But it looks very comfy.
And great. So she finally shows up and is immediately greeted by just the most sourpuss...
Oh, I hated him immediately. I was like, that's the bad guy. Fuck that guy.
And he is a bad guy. You called that.
Yeah.
His name is George Tracy, and he basically says, your Aunt Lavinia's already left for America. Here's the keys. Anyway, bye. Like, he's very, like,
he's rude.
And then she goes in and does stuff for, like, way too long. Then we see George's son, Peter, show up to bring her some tea from her dad.
And he's also, like, he shows up and he's like, my dad says... To bring you this tea.
He's just holding out a thermos. But he...
Okay, bye.
I like his style. But it's very 80s punk.
Yeah.
He's got like the leather jacket with the big zippers.
Every line he delivers is in here.
I thought he was trying to be respectful. He seemed fine to me.
He's fine.
And he turns out to be fine. In fact, he probably gets the most to do other than Sarah Jane, emotionally.
Yeah.
Like, Brennan gets some stuff to do, but not a whole lot, to be honest.
No, his scene where he's introduced, it's literally just him, like, there are conversations that are just boring conversations that happen for too long. Where it's like, I'm thinking about wanting to go to school here, because I'm tired of boarding. And Sarah Jane's like, oh, really? And it's like, let's talk about that at length, the way you would in real life.
And not only that, like, they could have just had her pick him up. But no, she has to show up first, then he calls, and she's like, yeah, I'm too tired, I just got in, I got held up, I'm not gonna come get you. And he's like, but I've already started to come halfway here, so I'm not even there, I'm not at the school anymore, you have to come pick me up. And she's like, oh, okay. And I was like, why?
What did that accomplish? For what reason?
Why did we have to sit through this long, boring scene? Just have her pick him up already.
He should just be there, even.
Yeah, just have him be there when she shows up. Well, they do have to have the place empty because it's ambiguous about what happened to Aunt Lavinia, because that's what she's mostly concerned about this whole episode. Well, not the whole episode, but a good portion of it is what happened to her Aunt Lavinia, because everyone's like, oh, she left for America. And she's like, well, she didn't tell anybody. And that's weird.
And a lot of people are saying, well, she probably, like, tried to cable you or something.
And she's trying to check in on that, and she's finding nothing. She goes to pick him up, and she comes back, and they open the door, and there is a dog there that is growling menacingly, though he is clearly not growling at all. It is very obviously dubbed in. But that dog's name is Jasper.
Aw.
He belongs to Bill Pillock, who is Aunt Lavinia's business partner? Is that what they said?
I don't know.
I know he introduced himself as her partner.
I couldn't keep track of any of the people in that town and what it was that they did.
I think he takes care of her property and stuff. I'm not sure. But he mumbles a lot. And he's also played by one half of the comedy pirate duo from Megalos. The less funny one.
Got it.
Two coats. He basically is there to be told exposition and to say exposition. And then, spoiler alert, be revealed to be one of the bad guys.
Which you didn't see coming, which is weird.
I thought it for a second, and then I immediately dumped it, because I was like, who cares?
Because I pretty much just assumed it was the whole town.
Yeah. In fact, there's only two people that turn out not to be bad guys, and they were the creepiest out of all of them.
Listen, everyone in that town hardcore gaslights her. And it's very disturbing to watch.
She gets called up by her neighbors, the Bakers. And, like, every interaction she has with them is very creepy. But then at the end it turns out, oh, no, they're fine. I'm like, I don't know. They were still being really weird.
They were really rude.
Yeah, and there's also, like, that scene where she's, like, questioning them. And then they're like, hey, why don't you drink something and be less prickly? And it's like, why don't you just shut the fuck up?
Because, like, this whole time, like, people go missing and stuff's going on, and Sarah Jane's like, no, this is definitely happening, and everyone in the whole town is like, I'm sure it's fine. Maybe it'd be best if you just stop stressing about it.
It also doesn't help, like, when they like, she calls Sarah Jane and is like, come over for dinner or whatever, and she's like, oh yeah, I'll think about it, I might do that. And it hangs up, and she turns to her husband and goes, she's coming. And he's like, good.
No, she doesn't say she's coming, she says she'll come.
Yeah.
In, like, the most conspiracy way possible.
Maybe this would have come up in future episodes if there had been more. It turns out they actually are bad.
Maybe. That is, like, the weird thing about this pilot, is that it doesn't feel... I mean, it does feel like a pilot, in that pilots are usually kind of...
Rough,
because they're doing too much. But it, like, the pilot ends and you're like, I don't know what the structure for this show is. Like, they told this one specific story in this setting.
Again, I cannot stress enough how... unscience fiction-y it is.
I don't know what the, like, I don't know how they go on more adventures after that in this small town.
Yeah, because it turns out, like, the whole town's bad, basically.
Like, the whole town is, like, part of this coven. Like, that's it. Like, that's the story. What do they do tomorrow? Like...
I don't know.
Do they leave the do they stay in the town and Sarah Jane writes a book and, like, weird things keep happening in this town? Or...
do they go places? Could it be a travel show?
I don't know. Because they have K-9, not like a TARDIS.
But she is a journalist. She could travel for her job.
But she's not journalisting.
She's writing a book.
She's writing a book.
Also, she's got Brendan, her ward, or whatever. Yeah, it's weird. I guess weird stuff would just happen in the town. Speaking of K-9, as soon as they get back and sort of talk to Bill and then talk to Juno, the neighbor, they open the grate! And we see K-9.
Mark 3.
Yeah, and it is established that it is indeed a third K-9. I don't know where he goes in the list. So that means there's been 1, 2, 3,
also, at what point,
four different K-9s?
At what point does the doctor send this K-9?
I don't know.
If he's Mark 3, that means he has to have sent this K-9 after he gets Mark 2. Which puts that in, like, a weird period of time. Like, the doctor was just sitting there one day, like, years later, like, you know who would like this?
Sarah Jane. See, I always thought just Sarah Jane and K-9 were a thing, but this is their first appearance together.
I know, well, because we've seen,
Five Doctors, I've seen Sarah Jane Adventures, I've
Sarah
seen
Jane
school,
Adventures.
School Reunion.
Yeah.
As well. And also, which doctor made it?
Well, that's what I'm saying. If it's...
it'd have to be, like, after...
if it's Mark 3, that means it's after 2, that means it's 4.
Wait, what?
Mark 2, that was the Fourth Doctor's, right?
I mean, K-9's only been in the Fourth Doctor era.
That's what I'm saying, that's...
but it'd have to be after Warrior's Gate, because that's when we got rid of Mark 2.
Yeah.
And then the next serial was... wasn't that Legopolis? So it could either be the Fourth or the Fifth Doctor. It might be the Fifth.
That's like a long period of time to be like, you know that friend I haven't talked to in years.
Send her a dog.
I'm gonna send her a dog.
They open the crate and they pull out K-9. It starts talking. And Brendan hears that its name is K-9. And he's like, K-9! And then makes the creepiest fucking laugh I have ever heard.
It was very bad, and I did not care for it. And Sarah Jane immediately is like, stop honking, because that's what he's doing. He is honking like a goose. And I didn't care for it.
Good God, it was terrifying. No human being should laugh like that. What is so goddamn funny that it makes you laugh like that?
I don't know what that's from.
Hannah, did you drink my ginger ale? I don't have a lot of things. I have ginger ale. I had ginger ale. And then you drank it. Hannah?
Thanks for recreating that old sketch video.
Eagles Are Turning People Into Horses by Britannic. If you haven't watched it, please do. So there's a note that says K-9 is a gift from the doctor. Brendan says, who is the doctor? And K-9 says, affirmative.
Which is a good line.
Is it?
Yes, it is.
Is it?
Yes.
Apparently there was a theory that this wasn't actually a gift from the doctor, but it was actually a gift from the master.
Oh.
Ooh. But also, why? Sarah Jane doesn't know who K-9 is?
Like, the master gave Sarah Jane K-9 to...
infiltrate and sabotage. Which, I mean, is a... spoilers for Sarah Jane Adventures. It is sort of a thing that happens in season one of Sarah Jane Adventures, but not with K-9.
Oh, yeah, the computer.
Yeah.
That bummed me out.
Me too. But, like, I get, like, why that would be an interesting idea, because it's K-9. But, like, that only... if you have, like, oh, that's the doctor's dog. But, like, Sarah Jane's never met K-9.
Right.
So that doesn't make any sense. Also, do you know how this pilot came about?
No.
Jonathan Nathan Turner's original idea was he wanted Elizabeth Sladen back on the show. Instead of Tegan, it would have been her. That would have transitioned from the Fourth Doctor to the Fifth Doctor, and having that companion there to help instead, it turned out to be the Master. But, like, he wanted her to do that, and she's like, I'm not interested in doing that. I'm not interested in coming back to fill the same role that I did before. Meanwhile, he's also like, K-9's popular, but I don't want him on the show anymore because he's...
a piece of junk?
Piece of junk, and he's too overpowered, and blah, blah, blah. So what do I do? So he's like, I'll make the spinoff with Sarah Jane as the hero and K-9 as the sidekick, and it'll be a kid's show and it'll be great. And she was like, yeah, I'll do that. That sounds great. And it actually did really well.
It did?
The ratings were really good.
So how come it didn't become a thing?
I think there was like a switch over in whoever was running the BBC stuff at that time. What do you mean? The show's not good.
Yeah, but like no pilots are. One.
There's some pilots that are good.
Two, it would have been good eventually.
Yeah, it was, and it was called The Sarah Jane Adventures.
That's true.
Much better take on that. Anyway.
What happens in it?
Sarah Jane goes to the post office and meets Lily Gregson.
She goes to the post office, but like, it's not like the post office.
It's just a woman's house. It's just closed. She says the post office was closed.
It was closed, and so she goes to this woman's house and has a cup of tea, and like, my socially anxious ass is like, why is this happening?
Well, it's a small village. People are tight-knit, I guess, or whatever.
Ugh, but she asks, terrible.
She asks if her aunt had sent a telegram, and she's like, nope. She's like, this is peculiar. Meanwhile, Brendan is just quizzing K-9 about science. He's a real nerd boy. He, like, his first scene where he's, like, talking about school is incredibly boring, but when he's, like, around K-9, he, like, gets a personality.
He's very excited. Like, he knows a lot about K-9 and how he works, and so it's clear that he knows a lot about computers and stuff.
So he goes out to get some dirt.
Not a very good explanation of what happens. He's, like, sort of testing K-9 and seeing what all he can do.
So he gets some dirt.
So he asks if he can do a soil analysis. So he gets some dirt.
So he gets some dirt. And while he's digging up dirt, George Tracy is watching from the greenhouse, I guess, creepily.
Just being a total creeper.
George and his son attack Brendan. Also, at this point, Sarah Jane's gone to a party, but it's not important, so we're skipping it. George and Peter attack Brendan, and K-9 shoots Peter.
I was really worried for a second, because I was like, sometimes when K-9 shoots people, he shoots them dead, and sometimes when he shoots them stunned, but it's the same red pew. So I was like, oh.
Well, I feel like this is Mark 3, that the kill function has been removed. Maybe. But yeah, Peter's fine. But George runs away and K-9 goes after him. But Brendan is like checking on Peter. Peter, by the way, is the leather jacket guy, if you've forgotten.
A youth.
A youth.
That's what Joe's notes say. Peter, a youth. Because Joe's 80.
But Peter is just, instead of like, you know, defending himself or whatever, he's just like, you need to get out of here. Run away before they get you. And Brendan's like, what? What does that mean? And then he is distracted by K-9 has been following George and notices what he will later refer to as a garden goblin.
A garden goblin!
Which is just like a lawn gnome.
A little gnome. But I'll never call them gnomes again. They're garden goblins from now on.
Garden goblins. And so he like sort of runs away from that and knocks over a bunch of shit and destroys a little garden house. And George gets away and Peter gets away. They both get away during this thing that K-9 caused. Really.
A little bit. It wasn't his fault. Garden goblins were not in his memory banks.
So George goes back home and tells someone that we don't see, but spoilers, it's probably either the post office lady or Bill, about this evil dog that chased him and that it means bad things. Meanwhile, Sarah Jane comes back from the party. Brendan tells her about being attacked and describes Peter very poorly.
What's the description?
Well, I don't want to say because it's kind of a slur.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Mm.
As a somewhat derogatory term used to describe Romany people. And I'm like, why? First off, I would just said punk because he looks like an 80s punk. But I guess maybe that hadn't been solidified yet.
I don't know. I don't know nothing about
nothing. This is only 81. Maybe the punk scene hadn't fully grasped, you know what
wasn't
I mean?
The punk scene yet.
Yeah. I mean, at least he could have said was he wore a leather jacket with big ass zippers on it. But no, he just says that one word and that's it. The next morning, they go and look at the Smash Garden with George and Bill and have a lot of explaining things that we've already seen.
There are a handful of scenes like that where you're like, yes, I know. I just watched it. Why did you...
Telling me again.
Why did you just tell me?
Brandon picks up a piece of the plant from the garden and is like, this has a pH level of yada yada.
How does he know that?
Science.
He like just picks it up in his hand and says what the pH is. You can't do that.
He says it seems like this has a pH level of 4. Didn't say it does. He said it seems like.
Based on what?
Moistness. You can't just tell the pH level of stuff by touching it. You've got a pH level of...
Not unless hydrangeas are growing in it.
I don't know what a pH level is.
I mean, it's how acidic or basic something is. That's why hydrangeas will change colors based on the pH level.
Oh, so if I was to test your pH level, you'd definitely be basic.
Rude! You're
basic!
Rude!
I'm sorry. Anyway, because Brendan is a smarty pants, everyone proceeds to tell him how nobody likes a nerd. There's more to life than science and
books. They yell at him for knowing too much science and not enough about plants. There's more to plants than science.
George gets on to him about it. Then Bill gets on to him about it. I'm like, calm down. Meanwhile, George tells his son, Peter, that he needs to go and get Brendan. And he doesn't want to do that. But then he does.
Good scene.
I mean, this is the scene I'm talking about where, like, Peter actually gets stuff to do because he's very reluctant to do any of this. He doesn't want to be a part of this.
Mm-hmm.
But he has to do it anyway because...
His dad makes him cry.
He does. Rude.
It's not nice at all.
But yeah, Brendan's like, I'm going to bed. And then he's going by, like, was it the basement? And he hears someone going, psst. Psst.
You hear someone say psst from the basement door. You don't go open it.
But Brendan's a dumbass because all he knows is science and books. And he gets pulled into the basement by Peter.
Of course he does. Someone psst, from the basement.
So Sarah Jane picks up a witchcraft book, reads it at the fireplace, and then there's a nice transition to the next day from the fireplace. I like that. And then she's like, I can't find Brendan. And she suspects that George has something to do with it because she's got a hunch, but she doesn't know how to prove it. So basically, she breaks into his little house and puts K-9 in there. Like, hey, if you hear anything, let me know.
I mean, that K-9 says that's what he's doing.
Yeah.
And Sarah Jane's like, okay, I guess.
This won't hold up in court. I mean, that actually is a problem, I think, where she's got, like, all this information, but they're like, where did you hear that? And she's like, she can't go, robot dog!
My robot dog told me!
Because she goes to the police to say that Brendan is missing, and they don't seem to care. And they're like, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. And she's like, why is everybody telling me not to worry about it? People are going missing! I think they even say Peter's gone missing. And the policeman's like, eh, just don't worry about it. Then the policeman goes to talk to George, and he's like, Listen, this has gone too far. We've kidnapped a kid. We haven't done a human sacrifice since, I don't know, he says like 1861 or some number. That's probably not right.
Long ago.
He's like, I don't want to do a human sacrifice. But George is like, we got to do a human sacrifice.
I'm a
sacrifice.
Police officer.
But K-9 has overheard this whole sacrificial argument and tells Sarah Jane about it. And so she knows that Brennan's going to be sacrificed. Okay, then the weirdest scene happens. The policeman is going by on his bike, sees the moon, and then vibrates to death?
Yeah.
I'm assuming they killed him with magic. This is the only part of it that is somewhat supernatural or not something that you could see in like a fucking murder mystery. You know what I mean?
No, that's true. I mean,
it's implied that it's the cult killing him, but it's not super
clear what happened.
Yeah. Or how or what.
If it was just magic.
Sarah Jane finds him and he's dead. And then also there's a goat there. The goat scared the shit out of me.
Why?
I wasn't expecting it. But then Sarah Jane tells Bill about it because we have to repeat everything we see in this show. Meanwhile, there's going to be a ritual. Peter is going to be initiated. Whatever. He'll be part of the coven.
He doesn't want to be.
But his dad's a dick. And so they do the ritual and the lead goat lady does something with his feet.
Yeah, no, wait. Because I have questions.
I think she kissed his feet.
What does she do to his feet? She kissed him?
I don't think we can say on this family-friendly podcast.
Her head goes down to her feet, his feet, and then it cuts away.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? What was about to happen there? No!
Okay. She was going to go to town on his feet.
No.
Goat town? Is there a joke there?
There is not. Please stop trying.
So I guess Peter is now part of the coven, the cult. And by the way, it is very obvious that the goat lady is the post office lady. To me, anyway. Who else would it be? It could either be her or the neighbor. But it sounded like the post office lady. So Sarah Jane goes to the baker's and complains about how nobody is fucking helping her.
And the bakers proceed to be creepy as shit.
And they're like, oh, it's probably nothing. You probably misheard something. Like you said here in that scene, everybody is gaslighting her. I'm like, that's true. That is happening in this scene. Yet it turns out they're fine later? It doesn't really add up.
No, they're suspicious as hell.
Meanwhile, K-9 has been studying witchcraft and figures out that the sacrifice is going to happen at midnight due to winter solstice or some shit. They know when the sacrifice is going to be, but not where. So he studies some maps and they're going to look for like hallowed ground or whatnot.
They're specifically looking at churches.
Yeah, and so they're driving off to look at it. Sarah Jane is ran off the road by a tractor. One of the few bits of action in this episode. She swerves and goes up like an embankment and then back down. And then that's it.
Yep.
Because you can't really chase someone in a tractor. So they've gone and looked all over the place. Can't find anything. Sarah Jane's like, is there a chapel? And like, K-9's like, I don't know what the fuck that is. And then she explains it. And then he's like, oh, there's one on Lavinia's property. She's like, God damn it.
No, I think K-9's the one who says, he asks what that symbol means. And she's like, it's a private chapel.
But they have to go back to where they started.
Yes.
And they're driving there. It's getting closer to midnight, as evidenced by K-9 repeatedly saying what time it is. And they get there right at midnight. Brendan's in like this like sacrificial, he looks like he's about to jump on stage in an 80s band.
You know, he doesn't get a perfectly tailored dress.
No, but it does look like one of those like 80s, it's like a V, big open V right here, sleeveless, white. It's actually pretty cool looking. He goes to get sacrificed, K-9 rolls up, shoots almost everybody. Sarah Jane runs up and does a couple of karate moves.
Some pretty slick moves.
Yeah, she kicks some ass. Then she gets Brendan, and then she unmasks the goat lady, who turns out to be the post office lady. She unmasks another dude, who turns out to be Bill. And then they go and hang out, Sarah Jane and Brendan go and hang out with the bakers and make jokes about
how he almost died.
Yeah, he's like, that's not funny!
His very real trauma. They just joke around about it. And it's Christmas!
Also, it's like, the bakers just are like, she's like, I thought you guys were bad for a bit. And they're like, what? That'd be dumb. And then they get a call, and it's Aunt Lavinia.
She's fine.
She's like, I sent you a message. Did Bill not send it? And Sarah Jane's like, no. And she's like, well, I wonder why. She's like, I'll tell you later. Like, she doesn't explain anything. She doesn't say, hey, you know what, your business partner or whatever? Turns out he's a huge murdering dick. Also, he was in Meglos. But yes, then it cuts to K-9, who sings We Wish You a Merry Christmas very poorly. And then pretty great.
Yes, and that's over.
It's so abrupt.
Like, at the very beginning of the episode, you were like, whoa, that's mood whiplash. Because we have this, like, really... Yeah, really delightful, like, upbeat sci-fi theme, and then we immediately go into, like,
Hecate.
Here's this pagan ritual that's happening. And you're like, oh, okay, wait, what?
And then we get...
And then, like, at the end, we're, like, back in that, like, opening, like, this is a cute thing about a dog. When the whole time it's been this, like, creepy...
Moody
murder mystery thing happening.
Also, there was literally no one in that scene except for K-9.
Yeah, it was, like, everyone around K-9, like, huh, we're having a good time.
Here at Christmas. Because, no, Sarah Jane and Brendan are at the neighbor's house.
And K-9's just alone singing Christmas carols to himself? That's so sad.
And that's it. That's the end of K-9 and Company. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be back with final thoughts.
Hey, Adam Thomas.
Yes, Thomas Mariani.
You know how there are podcasts about bad movies?
Yeah.
And also podcasts about good movies?
Yeah.
Well, what if a podcast could cover both?
What?
Listen to Double Edge Double Bill, where a randomly selected yin and yang of a double feature is picked and then picked apart.
Now, who came up with this wacky idea?
Adam, we did. That's our show.
I'm learning something new every day.
Listen to us on the ESO Network and wherever podcasts are available.
And we're back. Tony.
Yes.
I love you.
I love you.
Let's do final thoughts.
Oh, okay. I see you've gotten smarter in this new year.
Yeah.
Final thoughts.
Well, I actually wanted to ask you a question, which is when we were...
About five.
Oh, well, that answers that then.
Moving on.
I do have one more question, though.
Okay.
When we finished watching the episode, you were like, that is not at all what I expected.
Right.
I'd like to know what you expected it to be.
More science fiction-y, more goofy, aliens. I expected some science fiction-y elements. I expected it to be more like the Sarah Jane Adventures. I also expected it to be more like a kid's show. I didn't expect it to be the fucking Wicker Man. I didn't expect it to be all secret cults and murder.
God, there were actually just large chunks, too, of, like, old people talking about their lives, which is like great for a kid's show. Children love that.
There's, like, four or five scenes of just old ladies drinking tea.
My final thoughts. It was definitely super fun. I loved the theme song. It was really great to see Sarah Jane again and all her beautiful outfits. I mean, I was gonna say, like, I think she could have done, like, a great job if this had been picked up, but that's already pretty evident, seeing as how Sarah Jane Adventures exists. Just go watch those. They're great. Well,
I like them a lot.
They're fun.
They're fun.
They're enjoyable. Yeah, it was not what I expected. It was way different. I did also expect, like, a cheesy, goofy kids show.
A lighter tone.
Yeah, and not like this... Whatever we got. Whatever you would call it.
Creepy, dark, moody, atmospheric.
But it wasn't even those things. Like, a lot of it was...
Some of it was just boring.
Yeah, some of it was just... Like, I was like, I know they've got to, like, establish characters and stuff because it's a pilot, but, like, so much... It's 13 minutes before K-9's introduced. It's, like, 5 minutes before Sarah Jane's introduced. So much of it is just, like, these people talking, and I'm like, I don't give a shit. I don't know who these people are. I don't know why I care.
And nearly everything that's in those, that chunk, it's reestablished.
Once everybody's back in it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it seems like a weird choice to, like, we're going to start with some stuff completely unfamiliar to you. Don't do that.
For an episode that is shorter than most of the serials we watch, it felt super slow.
Yeah.
I was expecting cheesy, goofier, sillier, fun, more fun. It wasn't very fun. The theme song promised fun.
That theme song is so good.
Theme song is great. I mean, I didn't hate it. It's just not what I expected.
Yeah.
I don't particularly like it.
I think that's fair.
I could see it being all right if it continued as a series. Like, I love Sarah Jane. I love K-9. I warmed up to Brendan. I didn't care for him at the beginning because all of his scenes were boring. But once, like, he was just hanging out with K-9 and just sort of being a nerd, I was like, yeah, I can hang with Brendan. I guess he was the proto, what's his name? Adam? What was the kid's name in Sarah Jane Adventures?
I can't for the life of me remember.
She gets a son, basically. I wonder if Brendan's mentioned in any of the future appearances of Sarah Jane.
I don't know.
But I guess we'll see. I don't remember, because I guess there's five Doctors, then School Reunion, then Sarah Jane. But I don't remember Brendan ever being brought back up. I guess he didn't leave too much of an impression on her. But, yeah, it was fun. It was interesting to watch.
Yeah, it was a good special.
Yeah. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Onward to being back in the swing of regular podcast business.
Yeah. Next, we'll be back with the Fifth Doctor. So let me do the little spiel. Well, before we wrap up, is there anything you want to plug?
Yeah, actually, normally I ask you to, like, please, please, please watch Unseen World. You can watch it more places now than you ever have been. We've been really working on expanding out into streaming. That's not really my department. I don't know, like, where we're at. We're trying to get everything. So check, like, if you have heard me talk about it, but, like, you couldn't watch it, you don't have a Roku, if you have a Fire Stick, if you have Apple TV, our streaming service.
I guess it's going to be Heartland Network.
I'm asking for the URL.
Or watchheartlandtv.com. Yeah.
Check those streaming services. It's slowly getting added to all of them. We're slowly working out, like, whatever we have to do to get them up. So, if you wanted to see it, but, like, couldn't, check back at those places. It would also be, like, a tremendous help if you have watched The Unseen World. If you could, like, just go to our Facebook and, like, leave a comment on the page saying that you watched it, saying that you enjoyed it. It would help me a lot to be able to prove that, like, hey, people watch this and they like it. And then the things that I produce are valuable. So, if that's something that you've watched, if you haven't watched it, check again, check it out. We're See Unseen World on socials everywhere. We're on the Heartland Network.
Season 2 coming soon.
Yeah. So, See Unseen World if you want to tweet us or Facebook us and just tell me that you've watched it. You don't even have to tell me if you liked it or not. Just be like, hey, I watched this show. That would be great.
If you liked this episode of the podcast, you can check out more on watchyourassline.com and be sure to rate and comment on our iTunes. It does iTunes magic.
It really helps us be seen and heard by more people. It helps people find us, which is great. Like, we make this podcast because we want people to listen to it.
Yeah. And if you'd like to help us out even more, you can go to watchyourassline.com/support. And there you'll find a link to our Patreon page, which you can get to just by going to patreon.com/watchathon. And there you can donate a monthly amount to get all kinds of rewards like day early episodes, uncut video of the podcast records, live streams where we watch the episodes with you guys. Felicity watched this with us.
We have also been doing
bonus
episodes since the new season has started. We've been doing they're pretty short. It's not as sort of involved as these episodes. We watch the new episode. And, like, immediately afterwards, we grab the mic and, like, sit down on the couch and we're like, okay, here are all my thoughts.
Yeah, we don't recount the plot or anything. We just dive right into it.
Yeah. What level is that at?
$5.
$5. You know, also just even at, like, the $1 level, like, if you want to talk New Who with us, we have our Discord. And we get on the Discord, like, after we watch new episodes and talk about what we thought and what we liked and what we didn't, which is pretty cool. I love...
We also talk about stuff that's not Doctor Who. We talk about a bunch of different things. So.
Yeah, we have, like, a movie channel that we constantly are just, like... I mean, Joe, more than me, because Joe goes to see movies. But, like, he'll hop in it and just be like, I just saw this movie. Here's what I thought.
So it's a neat little place to just sort of hang out and discuss things. Not just Doctor Who, but everything. And that, again, that's patreon.com/watchathon. Also on our support page is a link to our Amazon wish list, where you can sponsor an episode of the podcast by purchasing the corresponding serial on DVD for us. We'll mention you on the podcast. Put your name on our Friends of Rassilon page. Speaking of, special thanks again to Matt Golden for sponsoring this episode.
Hey, thanks, Matt.
You can follow him or check him out or whatever at matthewgolden.net. And I also want to give a special shout out to Vincent EL for providing us with our theme song.
Thanks, Vince.
You can check out more of their music at vincentel.bandcamp.com. And tune in next time when we talk about the Fifth Doctor.
Ooh.
The first one, Castrovalva, with returning guest Benjamin Padon.
Or Ben Padden, as they like to be known.
Yeah, Ben will be back. And we'll be back. We'll be back to the Doctor. Doctor Who. Excited? Are you excited?
I am. I'm very excited.
All right. Well, till next time, keep calm and wrestle on.
Goodbye, and I love you in a platonic, parasocial way.
Reciprocated.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.